You are welcome to our teaching again on discipleship, one of the conditions for becoming and continue as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually in our teaching today, we are actually looking at the proof that a man is truly a disciple of the Lord. Today, we are looking at fruit bearing, proof of discipleship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have effectively been discipled, and you are a disciple of the Lord, and you have chosen that pathway of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are proof that you have truly become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Open with us to the book of John chapter 15, verse 8. The book of John chapter 15, verse 8. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple." It is to my Father's glory, and I believe that every one of us want to bring glory to God. And secondly, Jesus said, if you bear much fruit, you have proven yourself to be my disciple. The opposite is also true. If you are not bearing fruit, you may actually be declaring that you are not a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord was saying fruit will be proof of discipleship. He was also saying one way to glorify God is by bearing fruit. You bear fruit, you prove yourself to be a disciple. You bear fruit, you glorify the Father through it. So fruit serves to glorify God and to authenticate the disciple. If you are an authentic disciple of the Lord, you bear fruit and you glorify the Father by your fruit bearing. And secondly, you bear fruit and truly show yourself that you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So disciples of Jesus are not barren, because they were being discipled. They became like Jesus in order to bear fruit. We say vehemently that without fruit bearing, there is neither glory from men to the Father, nor evidence that real discipleship exists. We say vehemently that without fruit, there is neither glory. So a person cannot bring glory to the Father if he is not bearing fruit, and a person cannot truly prove himself that he is a true disciple of the Lord Jesus if he is not bearing fruit. The purpose of the disciples' call and ordination. Why have we been called to be disciples of Jesus? We have been ordained for what purpose? John, again, we are seeing that book of John chapter 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So the Lord was saying, your election and ordination have as one goal the production of abiding fruit. He said, you were chosen. You didn't choose the Lord. You were chosen, and then you were ordained to go forth and bear fruit, an abiding fruit. And that if you do that, as we saw earlier, if a person bears fruit, he brings glory to the Father. If a person also bears fruit, the Lord Jesus Christ said, then my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Fruit bearing is one of the qualifications that a person needs to have for his prayers to be answered. Are you bearing fruit? He said, you were chosen, and you were ordained in order that you may bear fruit. We have not just been called to some religious activities. We have not just been called to be jumping all over the place. We were chosen, we were ordained in order that we may bear fruit, and fruit that we abide. And if we do that, we bring glory to the Father. If we bear fruit, we prove that we are disciples of the Lord. And if we bear fruit, we qualify to have our prayers answered. So one of the reasons why your prayers may not be, God may not be answering your prayers, because you are a barren believer. And barrenness is by choice. And barrenness is always an indication that something is missing. Something is lacking. There's a disease somewhere. And barrenness is normally an indication of a broken relationship with God. The Lord is against barrenness. He cursed the barren tree and eliminated it completely. In John chapter 15, again, verse 2, what does the Bible say? He cuts out every branch in me that bears no fruit. Why every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So God cuts every branch. So barrenness is something that infuriates God. God is disgusted with barrenness. Because God did not create any believer, and God has not called any believer to be barren. We were called to fruitfulness, and ordained for fruitfulness, and back for fruitfulness, and anointed for fruitfulness. And the Lord stand by our side in order to help us to be fruitful, because fruitfulness brings glory to Him, and fruitfulness will show the world and even prove to us ourselves that we are disciples of the Lord. And fruitfulness will make the Father to answer any prayer we offer to Him. So the Lord is against barrenness. John the Baptist said in Matthew chapter 3 verse 10, if you open your Bible to Matthew chapter 3 verse 10, we are saying that God is against barrenness. Barrenness in the lives of God's children, God is totally against it. Nobody can ever prove, please God, by being barren. Nobody can ever satisfy the heart of God by being barren. Nobody can ever say that he is a disciple of the Lord by being barren. John the Baptist said, the ark is already at the root of the trees. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. He said the axe is already at the root of the tree. That God is ready to cut down. Cut down, cut down. Could it be that the Lord is telling you that the axe is already at the root of your tree, and that He is ready to cut down? Cut you down because you are barren. And He's actually said, cut it down and throw it in the fire. John the Baptist was not joking. He did not play politics in his message. If you knew that barrenness means that you may end up in hell, your life will change. You will change your way of life. You will look deeper into your life and begin to ask yourself, why am I barren? Spiritual barrenness is a terrible thing. That the Father says, the axe is already at the root of the tree. And He said, cut down every fruit. And to the extent that Jesus Himself had to curse the fig tree that was producing no fruit. So the Lord is against barrenness. The servant who had one talent but buried it did not only lose the talent but found himself cast out into the outer darkness. Again in Matthew chapter 25, there we are talking about the talent. The servant who were given talent, one went and buried his own talent. Because I wish I be seen, fruit bearing, part of fruit bearing is using all the ability God has given to you in order to produce results. And all the ability God has given to you, part of it, the talent God has given to you, if you take it and bury it, listen to what happened to this servant who found himself cast out into the outer darkness. Matthew chapter 25, verse 28 to 30. What does it say? Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And through the worthless servant outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Lord actually is saying, barrenness brings worthlessness, because it is a choice. You poison your spiritual life by permitting what should not come into your life, and as a result of that, you cannot bring glory to God. As a result of that, you break your discipleship with the Lord, and as a result of that, the Lord is actually saying, the little you have taken away from you and given to him who is producing more and more fruit. Not only that, and you are cast out into the outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I believe that none of us want to be casted out into the outer darkness. That's the tragedy of a barren servant of God, a barren believer. So God hates barrenness. The Lord Jesus hates barrenness. Barrenness is a dissociation in your relationship with the Lord. There are areas of fruit bearing. We will rapidly look at areas of fruit bearing. Because a person may be asking himself, how can I bear fruit for the Lord? Number one area of fruit bearing is in winning souls for Christ. If you are a believer, it means that you listen to the gospel, because the Bible says no one can believe without hearing, and no one can hear if somebody does not preach to him. You heard the gospel, and it is your responsibility equally to go and take the message of the gospel to others, so that the same thing that happened to you may happen to other people. You have been called to bear fruit in the area of winning the lost and building them to spiritual maturity. So the first area of fruit bearing is in winning souls, and you cannot win souls without preaching the gospel. You may actually have no problem in your life, but you lack the aggressiveness to take the word of God to people and ensure that they hear the gospel clearly, understand the gospel, and take a decision for the Lord and become who you yourself are. The believer who is not preaching the gospel is a selfish believer, and selfishness breeds barrenness. He's a lazy believer, and laziness only produces poverty, spiritual poverty, because you will look around after 5 years in the Lord, after 10 years in the Lord. The disciple, the apostle, were with the Lord Jesus Christ only for 3.5 years, and he left the work in their hands, and they went all over preaching. How old are you in the Lord? How long have you been in the Lord? Have you been in the Lord for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? And after 30 years, there is no single person in the body of Christ because of you. It's an indication that you are barren. Those who heard the gospel immediately went and preached to others. The first thing Andrew did was to look for his brother Peter and brought him to Jesus. When you encounter the Lord, there's a burning passion upon your heart to take the message of the gospel to others so that they may also hear. If truly you have encountered the Lord, and if truly the message of the gospel is good news to you, and if truly you believe that if somebody, your relative, your friend, your workmate, your classmate, does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will go to hell, and you know what hell is, then you will do everything possible in order to rescue them. There is no greater blessing you can ever bring to your friend by rescuing them from that outer darkness, that deep darkness, that pit of fire where people will be weeping, gnashing their teeth. And then, what a glory when you help somebody to set out and find the pathway to heaven, and begin to take the pathway to that celestial city where the streets are made of gold. So the first area of fruitfulness is in winning the lost And you cannot win people if you do not preach the gospel to them. So the first area of fruitfulness is taking the step to preach the gospel, and you preach the gospel, and you preach the gospel by opening your mouth to speak the word of God. You preach the gospel by sharing gospel tract with people. You preach the gospel by going to them. You go, he said, go into the world and make disciples. You cannot preach the gospel in your bedroom. You have to go. You don't just wait for people to come to you. You know they are perishing, and the next moment you may be hearing that you are friend, that you are classmate, that you are workmate, that you are tribemate. The next obituary may be his own being announced. What will you do about it? In order that you may bear fruit, you must go out to preach the gospel and win souls. And to win me, you have rescued them from the power of sin, rescued them from those wrong company, rescued them. You do not rescue a drowning man and leave him in the water. There's a preaching of the gospel, and there are people believing, but you rescue them, you win them. You mean you have snatched them from the hand of the devil, and you have planted them in the body of Christ. That's what soul winning is all about. That's the first area of fruit bearing. The second area of fruit bearing is ministry. Every Christian is called to minister to the Lord, to the Lord's body in one way or the other, and to minister to the world. Ministry talk about work, because everyone in the body of Christ has something specific that God wants you to do to the Lord, to the body of Christ, and to the world. The Holy Spirit gives gifts for ministry. So there are ministry, and then the Holy Spirit gives gifts or abilities with which to help people to carry out that work, that ministry that God has called them, has given them into their hands. So the Holy Spirit gives gifts for ministry according to his sovereignty and the desire of the disciple. Below is the list of possible areas of ministry. We shall list them and make no attempt to discuss them, as this will be the subject of thorough study in subsequent book in this series, the Way series. Spiritual gifts are outlined for us in the following passages in the Bible. If you open your Bible in Ephesians chapter 4, we are saying that God gives to us spiritual gifts in order to carry out spiritual ministry. Spiritual gift is not ministry. Spiritual gift is spiritual abilities given to people in order to help them, in order to carry out, to do the work God has given to them, God has called them to do, and the work God has called you to do for him is called ministry. And there is a specific area of ministry that God has called you to concentrate on, and the Lord gives you abilities in order to help you in that area of ministry. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, we'll see the fivefold ministry, those fivefold: the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastors, the teachers. So a person may be an apostle, a person may be a prophet, a person may be an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher. These are spiritual gifts given to people in order to carry out specific ministries. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 8 to 11, you again list here the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the working of miracle, prophecy, discernment of spirit, varying kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. So there are diverse gifts, and gifts given to members of the body, or this special ability, spiritual ability, given to certain members of the body of Christ in order to help them in the area of the ministry to which God has called them. And as they begin to utilize that ability, they will develop it, because God can give you spiritual gift and they lie dormant. And actually, God can actually give you those gifts and take them away, because we saw in the area, I said, take it from him and give to the person who has more. So part of fruit bearing, it will use one or more of this gift for the service of the Lord and his church. So in fruit bearing, we use our spiritual gift, the spiritual gift that God has given to us, in order to serve the Lord and to serve the church or to serve the body of Christ. That is part of fruitfulness. Barren believers bury their spiritual gift. Fruitful believers, they will utilize their spiritual gift to carry out the ministry God has given to them. Do you even know your spiritual gifts? If you don't know, why? Because you may not be concerned about the gift, the calling. You may not be concerned about the work that God has given to you to do for him. These spiritual gifts are the endowment received from God as Father. Spiritual gift may be received by two ways. So spiritual gifts are special endowment received from God as Father. They are distributed by the Holy Spirit in his sovereignty. So the Holy Spirit may just pick you and give you a particular gift even if you did not ask it. That is his sovereignty. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 11, all these are inspired by one and the same Spirit who appoint to each one individually as he wills. You may be asking, why did God give this special ability to this one? God does it. God is sovereign. The Holy Spirit is sovereign. So, spiritual gift given to distributed by the Holy Spirit in his sovereignty. Spiritual gift are also given to those who desire. You may have a particular task you are carrying out for the Lord, and you urgently need, you need a particular gift in order to help you to succeed. It says here that the spiritual gift also given to those who desire. The Bible says, make love your aim. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 1, make love your aim and earnestly desire spiritual gift, especially that you may prophesy. So you can earnestly desire spiritual gift. So you aim for love, but you should desire spiritual gift. A particular gift you can long and desire, and if that desire is with the right spirit, God will give you, because God knows the work you are doing for him. But if you are just desiring in order to boast of the gift that you have, how will God give you? In 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, if anyone aspires to the office of a bishop, he desires a noble task. So you can aspire, you can desire, you can long for a particular office. And the Apostle Paul said, it is a noble task. So the Holy Spirit gives according to his sovereignty. The Holy Spirit also gives. God also gives according to people's desire. And the Bible said, the longing, the desires of the righteous shall be granted. If you are desiring in order to succeed in the call of God, in that work that God has given to you, it will not be long before that particular spiritual gift will be yours. So part of fruit bearing is the use of our spiritual, the spiritual gift we have received. And we said spiritual gift are spiritual special endowment, special abilities given to those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and given by the Father, because they belong to him and given for a purpose. They are not given for display, they are given for service. Part of fruit bearing is the use of all the talent that the Lord has given us in his service and in the service of the church. Talent is endowment, all those abilities that the Lord has given to you just because you are his creature. Talent are gifts, natural endowment received from God as the creator. That is why believers can have talent, unbelievers can have talents. But unbelievers cannot have spiritual gifts. So spiritual gifts, talents, So we utilize the talent, the ability God has given to us in order to serve God and to serve His church. And this talent may also be found in unbelievers. True spiritual gifts are the possession of believers only. Those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus cannot have spiritual gifts, since they cannot receive the Holy Spirit. And as we said, the Holy Spirit is the one that distributes spiritual gifts. Talent include anything positive in our bodies and soul and all natural and material endowments. Those positive things that can be used for service are called talents. They may include an intelligent mind with a capacity for clear thinking. That some people very sharp mind with a capacity for clear thinking may be like you, but you see it for the Lord. Your talent may include academic success, a good job, an influential social position, financial wealth, an influential personality, a good capacity to communicate and sway people, good looks, tender nature, a capacity to solve problems, natural leadership, a capacity to endure, a capacity to pity people, helpful disposition, a capacity to organize people and things, a capacity to plan and see the plan realized. Some of these things, you may have had them, but you did not even know they were talent. Those were abilities that God gave you for a purpose. Don't bury them. An imaginative mind, a creative mind, capacity to exactitude, a good voice, a capacity for stage performance, a caring nature, a capacity to adapt easily, a retentive memory, a capacity to make friends with ease, natural goodness. Talent have to go through the cross before they can truly serve the Lord and His people. So there are many abilities that God has given to people, and there is no single person who can say he does not have this natural ability. Unfortunately, jealousy has made many people to abandon their own ability and begin to covet the ability, the natural ability of others. If only you develop your ability, utilize your ability, you will begin to excel, because God created every one of us to excel in one area or the other. When you come to the Lord, you cannot just start using your talent like that in the service of God or in serving God or serving the church. Talent have to go through the cross. If not, each time you sing well, you will start boasting of your good voice. You want the glory to come to you. Talent have to go through the cross so that your wealth will never be used to draw attention to yourself. Your natural beauty will never be used to draw attention to yourself. Your high intellectual capacity will never be used to draw attention to yourself. So that somebody looking at you, listening to you speak, intellectually capable, but you are never boasting because you have died to self. When a person permits his talent to go through the cross, he dies to self. He dies to those talents, and they will be used only to serve the Lord and never for boasting, never for self-worship. So we have said, in fruit bearing, a person wins the loss for the Lord. In fruit bearing, what do we also do? In fruit bearing, we use our spiritual gift and our talent in order to carry out specific ministry that God has given to us. The third area of fruit bearing is in character. Another aspect of fruit bearing has to do with character. The desire of God is that the character of Christ will be produced in the disciple by the Holy Spirit, the resemblance of Christ. So a person who is bearing fruit in an increasing way is resembling Christ more and more. A barren person in an increasing way is not resembling Christ. And if he is not resembling Christ, he may actually be resembling the devil more and more. The character of Christ or the fruit of the Holy Spirit will include, among other things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, compassion, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forgiveness, tenderness, gratitude, as we'll see it from the book of Galatians chapter 5, starting from verse 20. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is actually talking about the character of Christ. When a person is bearing fruit, he's becoming more loving, he's becoming more gentle, he's becoming more kind, he's becoming more, he can endure with others, he's becoming more generous, he's resembling Christ more and more. So you bear fruit in the area of winning the lost. You bear fruit in the area of ministry, using your talent and using the spiritual gift that the Lord gave you in order to accomplish a task, an area of ministry. You bear fruit in an increasing way by putting on the likeness of Christ. If you want to know more about fruit bearing in the area of Christian character, you actually read the book, The Way of Christian Character, by Professor Zachary Atani Fomum. The way to fruit bearing, how can you bear fruit? We have looked at areas in which we can bear fruit, but we are now looking at how can a person bear fruit. Number one, spiritual ambition. A person must be ambitious, have spiritual ambition, a longing, a desire in order to bear fruit. Selfish ambition have no place in the life of any would-be disciple. In the world, people live for self. There are two types of people in the world: those with great worldly ambition, who because of their ambition accomplish great things for themselves or for the world, and those who because of their lack of ambition, they accomplish nothing. Even in the world, there are those who long to accomplish something great. Unfortunately, their longing is to accomplish something great for themselves, for the world. But there are also some who are so passive, they have no ambition. You cannot bear fruit unless you are targeting, you have ambition, you have a longing. What do you want to accomplish? There are three possible classes of believers. So in the world, just two classes of people: those who have no, who have great ambition, and those who have no ambition. For the believer, three classes: those who are bound by self and they want to accomplish great things for themselves. The Bible prohibits this by saying, "And do you seek great things for yourself? Seek them not." Open to Jeremiah chapter 45, verse 5. He said, "Do you seek great things for yourself? Seek them not." We are not called to seek great things for ourselves. That's not the life of a disciple. So there are the categories of believers who are seeking great things for themselves. Then there are those believers who seek nothing great. They are content with no accomplishment. I believe that those such believers are disgusting to the Lord. No desire for anything great. Then there's the category of believer who seek great things for the Lord and His church. So we are saying that for a person to bear fruit, he must have ambition. And we say, number one, do not have great ambition to seek great things for yourself. Have great ambition to seek great things for the person who paid the price, because the Bible says he died for us, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. We are no longer living for ourselves. Live for the Lord, because he paid the price for you. Don't be a person without an ambition. Have great ambition for the Lord. That's the first pathway to bearing fruit. The Lord is looking for people who will seek great things for Him. People who desire to go to a village and conquer one village after the other. People who conquer cities. People who conquer nations. People who begin to do great things. People who write thousands of books for Him. People with great ambition, people who make billions and billions and billions in order to advance the cause of the gospel, seeking great things for the Lord. The Lord Jesus had spiritual ambition. The word "I must" characterized his whole life. And at the age of 12, he said, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" His ambition was to be at all time in his Father's house. And then he said, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice." So he had an ambition to be in the presence of his Father, and he had an ambition to win the maximum number of people, everybody who had gone astray, all the lost. If you have an ambition to win 1 billion people to the Lord, you have committed no sin. But you see, no desire to win even a single person is an abnormality. That's not the life of a believer. That's not the life of a believer. He was moved by a great sense of compulsion. He accomplished the impossible for God. The Lord accomplished the impossible for his Father because there was great ambition. Paul had great spiritual ambition. He wanted to know Christ in his totality. He did everything he could to win some. He wanted to preach the gospel where he had not yet been named. At all costs, he wanted at all costs to know Christ. He said his desire was to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. He said, "I'm being conformed into his likeness." And he longed to fellowship with Christ's suffering. And he wanted to win the largest number of people possible for the Lord. You may determine to witness to a certain number of people every day. That's spiritual ambition. You may aspire for a particular gift and insist that God gives it to you for ministry, and then use it for the service of the Lord and his body. You may pray, you may fast, and you may set clear strategy. This month, I must go here and preach the gospel. I must go to this village and plant a church. I am going to do everything possible to win the largest number of people possible. If you tell yourself, "This month I will win 100 people to the Lord." As you win 100 people to the Lord, I'm going to preach to 1,000 people. That's being ambitious. How old are you? Are you 50, 60, 40, 30? In the next 20 years, what will be your age? Why don't you set the highest possible goal to win the maximum number of people for the Lord? For the Bible says, he does not wish that anyone should perish. Also, you may aspire to put on the character of Christ by mercilessly dealing with all that stand in the way of holiness in you. You may set out to put on a particular aspect of Christian character. If you mean business, you will go very far. So if you want to bear fruit, you must have a clear ambition. Number two, you must have a clear goal. Clear goals. God-centered and Christ-glorified ambition must be crystallized in clear goals. What you want to accomplish with time limit. You set clear goals. This is what I want to accomplish. Anyone with vague goals will accomplish nothing. You should know where you are going, and you should ask yourself, you are going to arrive there when. The goals of the one who will succeed must be so clear that if someone were to wake him up from sleep at midnight, he will be in position to state this goal correctly and clearly. Set very clear goals so that if they wake you up at midnight, you can be able to state it very, very clearly without being confused. Write it down. Such goal must be fairly narrow. If you want to accomplish everything, you will end up accomplishing nothing. Anybody want to accomplish everything, involved in everything, and be everywhere, you would fail. The Apostle Paul said, "One thing I do." Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, he said, "This one thing I do." One thing, said he, and not 100 things. Your goals in three areas of fruit bearing should be worked out into clear and straightforward objectives that are understandable to you, but big enough to envelop you. So set clear goals, clear ambitions, set clear goals, area of ministry, set clear goals in the area of character transformation. And anybody who has set, who knows what he wants and set clear goal, must be disciplined. Great ambition, that's the third pathway to fruitfulness. Discipline. Great ambition crystallized in clear goal is good, but it will not be realized without a great price paid. Someone said there must be great renunciation before there can be great Christian career. There are certain things you say no, 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 no. Actually, for a man who accomplished something great, for every 100 things, he will say no to 99 things and say yes to one thing. Anybody who is given to say yes to everybody and yes to everything has actually decided he will fail. He's an indisciplined person. He's all over the place, in every party, in every gathering, in every group. Such a person, because you have only 24 hours every day, you will fail in life. Something must go, something must be abandoned. This is where discipline comes in. A disciple must be disciplined. If you are indisciplined, you immediately disqualify yourself from becoming and continuing as a disciple of the Lord. Discipline means that you say no to many things that, though good in themselves, may hinder the one great purpose to which your life is consecrated. Discipline means to say no. There are certain things that look so good, but they will hinder you from accomplishing the one thing to which the Lord has called you. A disciplined person is of necessity narrow in his choice. You cannot invest in 10 things. The disciplined person will not be extravagant in the things he loves. Discipline means that the body is brought under control to serve. You eat when you must. You sleep when you must. You don't just eat because the body, your appetite desire it. The major reason why many people do not make much progress in fruit bearing is that they allow their appetite, inclination, desire, and wishes to pull them in different directions. They allow their appetite, their inclination, their desire, their wishes to pull them in different directions. A disciplined person will refuse all indulgences. He will follow one hard line of living on the barest necessity. He will ask about everything. Will it help me to accomplish my one ambition? The Apostle Paul said, open your Bible with us to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll read just verse 26 and 27. Paul said, I do not run aimlessly. Because an indisciplined person has nothing he's targeting. He runs aimlessly. Paul said, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I pommel my body and subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I should myself be disqualified. Indiscipline will help a person to be disqualified from the prize. Paul said, I have a goal. And because I have a goal, I make my body to obey. I bring my body under. There is practical reality in this. So an indisciplined person has no goal, yield to his body, sleep all the time, eat all the time, party all the time, uses his money, whatever desires come on his heart, he gives himself to pleasure, and such a person will never be the best God ordained him to be. He's a person given to indulgence, and indulgence is a tragedy. The love of sleep, the love of food, the love of luxury, the love of pleasure, and the others are among the most tragic loves of life. And big nations have been destroyed by indulgence. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by the love of ease. Gideon's army was reduced from 32,000 first to 10,000, and then from 10,000 to 3,000 by the taste of indulgence at the state of drinking. It takes only a bit of indulgence at a time to ruin a life completely. Think of those who practice the indulgence of procrastination. What you should do today, you push it to tomorrow. Where are they? How far do they go? Are they not ruined permanently? Discipline means that one can keep at the task when all the natural and emotional incentive for doing it are gone. When you start doing a task, after a time, the incentive for doing it, there's no desire for doing it, but you must do it and complete it. For no project, no reward comes to a project, to a person, when he has not completed a task. The disciplined person obeys God's command and voice. He goes on and on, irrespective of how he feels and irrespective of what it may cost him. He is bent on succeeding. He strives, he presses on, he pummels his body, he strains to reach the set goal. This is a way of discipleship. A disciple is a disciplined person, and a disciplined person will be a fruitful person. And discipline means to bring the body and soul under the dictate of the spirit. You bring your mind, you bring your will, you bring your emotion, you bring your body so that what the spirit wants is done. You are not one of those who say the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak. You tell your flesh what the spirit wants is what you must do. That is the life of a disciplined person. We shall complete part two of fruit bearing in our next sharing, because it's a critical aspect of the disciple of the Lord Jesus. A disciple of the Lord Jesus proves that he is truly a disciple of the Lord by bearing fruit. And we have said you bear fruit by winning the lost, you bear fruit by ministry to the Lord, ministry to the body, you bear fruit through character transformation. And in order to bear fruit, a clear ambition, and a clear ambition crystallized in clear goals, and then you pay the price, and he that pays the price through discipline will succeed. Be a disciple of the Lord Jesus and bear fruit for the Lord Jesus. May God bless you. Join us again next time as we finish part two of fruit bearing. Be blessed.